Sportscast, September 12th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net. Again, thesportscast.net. Alabama has been criticized for an easy schedule this season, but this weekend should be more difficult than the past 2 weeks. South Carolina. And to join us today to talk to us a little bit about Bama, Justin Riley, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Roll Tide, brother, and great to be here for another week.
There has been a lot of criticism, a lot of trolling on Twitter and on the internet about Alabama's schedule, but this weekend is a little bit better. What do you think so far?
Well, Alabama's going to always have trolls wherever they go. You know, it's a sign of someone who's on top, man. There's going to be haters everywhere coming out of the woodwork looking for something to whine and gripe about. And you know, here lately it's the schedule issue. You know what, who cares? You know, the time will come when we play somebody that's going to be difficult. And if anybody actually pays attention to the scheduling of Alabama and what Nick Saban tries to do, he actually, aside from this year, of course, you know, tries to schedule tough opponents usually in the opening stages of the season. You know, for instance, you know, he scheduled teams like Virginia Tech when they were a top five, top 10 team. He scheduled Michigan. He scheduled Wisconsin, Florida State, just to name a few. And they, you know, when he scheduled them, by no means were they considered a pushover. The chips fell where they are this year. And of course, we opened up with Duke, which definitely is not a powerhouse by any stretch of the imagination. And then, of course, we had the New Mexico State Aggies this past weekend. But yeah, this coming weekend, the opponent's going to be significantly tougher. And the South Carolina Gamecocks, are they world beaters? Not quite yet. They're a team that's in transition and going through a lot of changes, but they are going to be a lot tougher than what we faced thus far, especially from a quarterback standpoint.
South Carolina Gamecocks are an SEC team. They're better than the Duke and New Mexico State, but it's not doing enough on third downs. There's no ball control. The Gamecocks are last among SEC teams as so far in time of possession, and the secondary is getting hit by too many big plays. What are your expectations with the Gamecocks?
Yeah, absolutely. If you've really seen South Carolina these past 2 weeks, offensive firepower is something that does not really describe, you know, what they're all about. Yeah, you're right. You know, one of the biggest knocks against them right now is they're not doing very well on third down. Of course, it was a little bit better outing this past week. Of course, you kind of expect that, you know, when you're playing an opponent like Charleston Southern from the FCS. And they do have some problems in the secondary, which should play into Alabama's strength, considering that the wide receiving core of Alabama is the best in the nation, and they're averaging explosive plays quite consistently, to say the least. But, yeah, South Carolina's defense is much maligned if you follow them at all, which if you don't really follow the SEC, you're not going to know this. Last year was absolutely awful for them. They had a huge amount of injuries. Matter of fact, it got so bad they had walk-ons playing. They had a total of 18 players hurt, and 16 of those players played on the defense. They had the second-worst run defense in the SEC last season. They gave up an average of 27.2 points per game. They do return seven starters to that defense. They've got some talent there. DJ Wanham is the most talented and experienced, but like I just said earlier, health is an issue. He game last year contributed, but he missed the rest of the season due to injury. When he was fully healthy in 2017, he had 57 tackles, and 13 of those were for loss. They also returned Javon Kinlaw, as well as T.J. Brunson, pretty good linebackers. Their secondary, which has drawn a lot of criticism right now, is led by J.C. Horn. If that name sounds familiar, it should. That is Joe Horn, famous New Orleans Saints son, and then Israel Makamu. They're going to have a big year. They have potential to have a big year, but that defense is really a defense that's trying to find themselves, and that really plays well into Alabama. The ships fall into their hands here, and it's a distinct advantage, especially with Tua Tagovailoa and Jerry Jeudy and the rest of the receivers who are on fire right now.
Justin Riley.
Hey.
Sorry about that. I'm good. Of course, Tua Tagovailoa is actually having a great start of the season. He's getting the ball out of his hands even quicker this season. His receivers are doing an even better job of taking short passes a long way. And the running game hasn't even started to get Najee Harris and Brian Robinson rolling. Last week, they defeated New Mexico State Aggies. What were your thoughts about Alabama's play and also their big win against New Mexico?
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, Tua is playing a little bit better. His release is a lot faster, like you said. He had a really good day. He had an early day. He played a half and just a little bit in the second half. He still was 16 of 24 for 227 yards and three touchdowns with a rushing score to add to it. As far as, like you said, man, the rushing game, we still cannot really get anything going, which is really surprising and just really kind of, I don't know if disheartening is the word, but it's a need of concern because the offensive line really isn't opening holes for us right now. They're virtually ineffective. If you take away that long run by Keelan Robinson, which was 74 yards, and then that swing pass slash run from Henry Ruggs, they averaged 4.36 yards per carry versus New Mexico State. You're not supposed to struggle against New Mexico State. So the wide receivers had to pick up where the running backs were lacking. And, of course, I mean, they can because they're the best receiving core in the nation as far as I go. You know, Jerry Jeudy had a huge day. He had eight receptions for 103 yards and three touchdowns, which now moves him into second all-time and out for Alabama. Henry Ruggs had four receptions for 66 yards and a touchdown, and he also had one rush for 75 yards and a touchdown. So he looked very good. All the receivers looked great. The offensive line, like I said, still just can't quite get something together. Right now it's kind of a musical chairs type thing. They're trying to figure out who needs to go where. Landon Dickinson just started center. Good note there was Tua Tagovailoa said after the game that he felt extremely comfortable with him at that position, so that's a good sign. Now, the combination of Dickerson, Evan Neal, Alex Leatherwood, and Jedrick Willis, it just seems kind of like they're just still trying to find their way. They look lost, and I don't know if it's because they're really waiting for Deontay Brown to return from suspension to really get things going, but which on paper it looks like that should solidify everything, get things moving in the right direction, but we don't know it until we see it. So that's still an area of concern for Alabama. We're not able to run the ball, and we're kind of one-dimensional right now, so that's something we are going to have to drastically improve upon. And like I said earlier, Keelan Robinson looked fantastic. He is possibly emerging now as a third option as far as tailbacks. Alabama's always had a good, solid rotation of three strong tailbacks, and mainly like a type you would see like Josh Jacobs or Kenyon Drake. Keelan seems to be that Josh Jacobs type, you know, after a couple of games. He's certainly got the speed. He can get to a whole nother level. He had five carries for 80 yards and a touchdown. And when he scored that touchdown, he just exploded out like a cannon, man. And it just seems to me like he and then Brian Robinson Jr. are running with more fire and more passion. And at times, it looks to me like Najee is just kind of maybe halfway doing it, I kind of question, does he really want to be there? Because the way he runs, I just don't see a fire in him like I see with the other tailbacks. Defensively, Alabama looked really good. Of course, you're supposed to against New Mexico State. Xavier McKinney stood out. He continues to get better each week. He looks like he's going to be a strong leader for that defense. He had six tackles and then two forced fumbles. Raekwon Davis showed up. He seemed to be meeting people in the backfield quite often, along with Anthony Jennings. Interesting note, Jordan Battle started at safety at this game. Kind of threw a lot of people off, but from everything I'm hearing out of Alabama camp, Coach Saban is really impressed with him, and he really did very well. Jordan Battle was a highly recruited freshman. He's another freshman that's getting significant playing time. Most impressive thing to me was we got a kicker. Woo! Will Richard was 2 of 2 for 40 plus yards, long of 49, and each of those kicks was, like I said, 49. I think the other was around 47, 48. So about the same distance for both. And when he kicked that ball, man, he sent it sailing through the stands. It could have kept going. He probably could have made it from 50, possibly 60. So that's a great sign. I mean, Alabama fans are probably the most excited about that stat out of anything that was accomplished against New Mexico State.
Another big game in the SEC world, but was not an SEC match. It was LSU versus Texas Longhorns, where LSU defeated Texas 45-38. A big game for Joe Burrow. How do you look at LSU now? Are they a force to be reckoned with?
LSU is always a force to be reckoned with. They're still one of the top teams in the West, and they're going to be a team that's going to present a challenge for the Western Division crown year after year. And they have one of the top teams talent-wise in the SEC year after year. Here recently, it hadn't translated to an SEC title, but to be honest with you, just looking at things, they're not too far away. And I think they're going to give Alabama a significant challenge once it comes time to play in Tuscaloosa. Of course, if LSU played them right now, I think LSU wins that game pretty convincingly because Alabama is still trying to figure things out in a lot of areas. But really impressed with what LSU showed us. They are a significantly better team than last year, especially from an offensive standpoint. It's amazing what happens when Coach Ogeron finally swallows his pride and steps aside and tells his offensive coaches, okay, guys, y'all take this on. I'm going to let you call the shots. And all of a sudden, boom, a whole new world is opened. And then we see that LSU's got receivers. LSU is moving the ball. They're running five wide, which you never see at LSU. And, man, did they just tee off on a really good Texas team. Jamar Chase, his name was mentioned constantly at that wideout position, man. He torched the Longhorn secondary. They look really good. Joe Burrow is definitely a quarterback that has improved significantly. He's playing with more confidence. He's got a little bit of a swagger and a fire to him that wasn't there last year, and I think it has a lot to do because he really was limited, and he knew he was kind of, I guess, locked up because Ogeron really wasn't about opening that offense. Now he's got the offense open and unlocked and, you know, has free reign to do whatever, and I think that does a lot for a guy like Joe Burrow's confidence, and it really showed. He torched the secondary of the Longhorns all night long, and it seems like any time the LSU offense needed to get a big play, it happened. And one thing about LSU that has been absent is they're balanced. They can still run the ball, but now they can do it through the air. So that made a huge difference against Texas, and they just wore Texas down. And I'm going to be honest with you. The score really should have been a lot worse. The only reason why Texas, I feel like, in the second half was able to keep it closer than it than what it showed was because of the LSU players, you know, getting gassed and also having to leave the game due to dehydration and cramping. Had that not happened and they were playing with backups, I think that the scoring would have been limited even more so for Texas. But I was really impressed with LSU. They came out on a primetime game, and they beat a top 10 team, and they looked really good doing it. So, yeah, LSU is one of the teams to watch. I think they're all right. They're definitely improved. We're going to see what this LSU bunch is really about. They've got a tough schedule this year, so they'll get a chance to prove it to us.
Joe Burrow had 471 yards. Yeah, you're right about the receiving, that high yardage. Justin Jefferson had 163 yards. Jamar Chase had 147. Terrence Marshall Jr. had 123 yards. So it was definitely a high yardage game. Sam Ellinger, which a whole lot of people are talking about him, had 401 yards. What's the future for this kid?
Well, and college-wise, man, he's got a great season, a projected great season ahead of him. He's not, you know, I praise Joe Burrow a lot here, but Sam Ellinger was just magnificent that game. I mean, he keeps Texas in that game, and he put them in position to win that game. He's solid, man. He's definitely one of the best quarterbacks in the Big 12 and one of the better quarterbacks in the nation. So he's got tremendous upside through the rest of the season. You know, a lot of people are saying that he may be a Heisman finalist. If he keeps playing at that high level, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be, unless, you know, Texas, you know, drops some games they shouldn't. As far as stats go, he should have a big year being that, you know, he's playing in the Big 12 where there really isn't a whole lot of emphasis on defense. And that Texas offense is going to continue to get better. They've really got some talented receivers. They do need to get better running the ball, but it's only week three, and there's a lot of this Texas team that we hadn't seen yet.
Looking at the AP Top 25 poll, there was a lot of talk about three SEC teams in the top four. Of course, we got Clemson as number one, two Alabama, three Georgia, LSU. Are we going to find, you know, for this rest of the season, or maybe, you know, in a couple few weeks, things might change, but do you think we'll see a lot more than one SEC team or more than two SEC teams in the top four?
I think that's something that we're going to see pretty consistently throughout the entire season, just because those top-tier SEC teams are that good. Now, there's probably going to be a changing of the guard because some of these SEC teams are playing each other. You know, LSU is going to be playing Georgia. And then, of course, Alabama is going to be playing LSU. Texas A&M's got to play Georgia as well as LSU. So there's going to be some rotation going on. But do fully expect two SEC teams to be in the top five pretty consistently. There may be another one that sneaks in there as well. But, yeah, I would say pretty much at this point, unless something, you know, unforeseen happens, two SEC teams are going to be regulars at that spot.
Something to definitely look at. Of course, LSU and Alabama will duke it out this season. So someone will be out of it. I mean, I guess if Alabama loses, I guess they'll maintain a fourth spot and LSU maybe a third or second. But looking at Clemson's schedule, it's also as easy, not as easy as Alabama, but there are a pretty easy, I guess, light schedule, you can say, because of the weakness of the ACC. I mean, how do you see Clemson in this weak ACC?
Well, yeah, the ACC is very weak. That is very, very correct there, sir. And the main thing is they don't play a ranked team the rest of the way. Texas A&M was the only ranked team that they have on their schedule this season, unless, you know, something happens. But just looking down the road, Clemson should not have any issue whatsoever at going through their schedule. The only way I see anybody hanging with Clemson is is if Clemson gets bored and they feel complacent, they feel unchallenged, and which can happen a lot of times, especially with top teams. You know, we've seen it with Alabama. So can Dabo Swinney keep them fired up and motivated every game? I think he's capable of doing that, but we got to see on the field. So the only team that really messes Clemson up at this point is Clemson. You know, that's just going, you know, without any injuries, things like that. That's the only concern I have for Clemson right now. But yeah, the ACC, it's a cakewalk right now.
Something to definitely look at. Of course, Clemson's number one. We'll see if they'll maintain that number one spot. I don't know if they win out. Can they drop to two eventually, or do you think they'll stick at one if they just win it out?
The only way that they'll drop from that number one spot, of course, you know, other than getting beat, which if they get beat, you might as well forget it as far as climbing back in, because they don't play anyone of significance that would boost them ahead of someone else unless someone loses. But the only way I see them, I guess, going down outside of that fact is if one of those top four teams has a more impressive victory or victories over a more significant opponent, a top-ranked opponent or opponents.
Something to definitely look at. Of course, the games will get a little bit tougher towards the midseason. A lot of these teams, big teams, are playing a little bit of weaker teams, but hopefully throughout the middle October, end of September, we'll see more of a high caliber games, and LSU is definitely playing some high caliber games early on. Anything else before we head into predictions?
No, nothing else really. Like I said, for Alabama, it's a good thing. I said this last week that our schedule is easy right now. So because, I mean, this couldn't have worked out any better just considering what Alabama has been experiencing, you know, with the injuries, with the multiple freshmen playing on both sides of the ball, and, you know, players are out. This plays to Alabama's favor. It gives Alabama time to continue to develop and work on things. Now, if we were playing some of these tougher opponents early on, I don't think Alabama will be undefeated right now. So I like the easy schedule. Is it sexy? No. But right now I don't care, because we really need to get better. We really need to get things figured out. The defensive guys, I feel like, are improving at a much faster rate than the guys on the offensive line. And that offensive line has got to get tremendously better. Alabama cannot be one-dimensional, because, you know, there's going to come a time where you come against LSU, for instance, who could possibly slow down that passing attack. We're going to have to run the ball. You know, we got to be multidimensional. So I just want to see improvement week after week. I definitely don't want to see complacency. And I think this will be a good test for Alabama, being on the road. And I think in the back of their minds, they don't remember that the last trip we made to South Carolina, we got embarrassed 35-21. Yes, those players that they're playing now were like in sixth grade when that happened. But, you know, they still got in the back of their mind, you know, bad taste. And it's definitely Steve was saving. So we got to make a statement on the road. Road victory is always a big thing. And, yeah, I just want to see some improvement.
Back to the top 25, which I forgot to mention. Auburn climbed up to 8th, and Florida came back to 9th, close to what they first started this season. This shows a lot of strength of the SEC, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the top half of the SEC is very good. Yeah, very good talent-wise, and they're being given the props and respect for it right now, thus the high rankings. Now, we're going to see what they're really all about, and if they can earn their stripes, like you were saying, as the season progresses and we get to the meat of the schedule, things start to get a little tough, a little shaky, you know. Florida's going to play much tougher opponents. LSU definitely is. Georgia definitely is. Texas A&M, for the love of God, yes, they are. You know, they're playing. They already played Clemson. They're going to play Alabama. They're going to play Georgia. Man, that's just tough. But, you know, they got to play LSU too. So, man, you're going to see just how, what they're all about, man. And unfortunately, some of these top SEC teams, when they face each other, are going to knock the others out. So, you know, we're going to see some of these guys weeded out of the top 10, but not because they're not worthy of it. It's just that, you know, they're going to be playing each other, and somebody's going to be on the outside looking in because of it.
Also in the top 25, one significant win was Maryland, who is coached by former Alabama coach Mike Locksley, brought them up to number 22, number 21. Are you impressed by what Mike's doing so far?
Man, I really am.
Which they beat a Syracuse team, a ranked Syracuse team, one of the best teams in the ACC, apparently, 63-20. So go on.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you could argue that, you know, they beat the team in the previous week. You know, they scored 70 points, of course, you know, it was against a FCS opponent. You're supposed to do that, but they still looked impressive. And they they showed some things that, in typical of Maryland offense. But then they came back the next week, and they played a ranked opponent, Syracuse, and they didn't just beat Syracuse. They humiliated them.
They wounded them.
More than that, man, they gashed them. I wasn't expecting that at all. I really felt like Syracuse was going to be one of the stronger teams in that weak ACC, as you put it. And I thought it was going to be a significantly closer game than what was shown. But apparently Mike Locksley did not want that to happen because, man, the offense was just on display and showed out again and is putting the nation, but the Big 12, on notice. Now, are they going to be able to sustain this type of success? Not sure. You know, they got to get to the meat of their schedule in the Big Ten as well. So we're going to be able to see if they can sustain all that. But it's fun to watch right now. But, yeah, you got to give props to Mike Locksley and what he's able to do. And, man, he really is developing the quarterback as well as, you know, his other offensive players, man. And my previous coach just wasn't able to do that.
Something to definitely look at, you know, coming from the tree of Nick Saban. Maybe Mike Locksley might, he's bringing over, spilling over what he had in Alabama, the success towards Maryland, the Terps. So quite interesting to look at that closely, what's going to happen in that organization, that school. Let's go into game predictions. Not much going on, but we'll see what Justin thinks. Washington State versus Houston.
I think Houston is a very good team. They got embarrassed thoroughly by Oklahoma, but you kind of expect that given the talent level of Oklahoma and then Jalen Hurts, of course. But that does not, you know, take away from them. They're definitely not a pushover. I think they're going to rebound this week and play a much better game. But I still think that Washington State is the stronger team, and I think they're going to come out with a victory here.
Washington State wins Pac-12. Let's go to Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh versus Penn State.
I think Penn State's going to win this game. Pittsburgh still isn't anyone to really, you know, be afraid of. I think just because it's a little bit of a in-state rivalry, it'll be a little chippy, you know, in the first half. But Penn State is just way much more talented and has more depth than Pittsburgh, so the Nittany Lions will gain a victory here.
Which they're ranked 13th. USC versus BYU, a USC that some players are leaving, and the organization is just cracking a little bit.
Well, yeah, and the outside stuff may look kind of crazy right now, but on the field, USC is actually putting together a pretty good product, and I like what they're doing. And I think it really was just crazy. They lost their starting quarterback, but they seem to be playing better with a backup quarterback. But I don't think that they'll have a problem against BYU. BYU barely beat a bad Tennessee team this past week, took overtime to do it. And, of course, USC is a lot more talented. So USC's got this one.
Stanford versus UCF.
Oh, man, this is a hard one to choose here. I think this week, you know, I think it's going to be a very close game.
Might be the biggest game of the weekend.
it probably is.
Which is not saying much, but.
Well, if you're expecting a big game right now at this point in the season, you know, you're greatly mistaken, because it's just not going to happen. But I think that Stanford is going to pull out a victory, a small victory, over UCF, and maybe that'll shut their fans up for a little bit.
Yeah, that game will be in Palo Alto. We'll see what UCF is all about. Iowa versus Iowa State.
Iowa, I think they're more talented than Iowa State. I'm still kind of a little hesitant to be on the bus of Iowa State right now, being as they struggle against Northern Iowa in the opening game. So Iowa's got this one.
Florida at number 9 versus Kentucky.
Well, you got two teams here that we really don't know if they're legitimate and worthy of being where they are. I think neither one of them really have right now at this point a quarterback that's just really gaining attention from everybody. Kentucky is very one-dimensional, and I think that plays into the hand of Florida, who has a great defense. So since Florida's got a great defense and they're slightly better at quarterback with Felipe Franks, I think that Florida will win a close one. Plus, they'll have the revenge on their mind after getting embarrassed by Kentucky last year.
There you go, the revenge game. FSU versus the Virginia Cavaliers.
Man, I'm afraid to even consider picking FSU to win something, just because of, you know, what they're doing right now. And they seem to be playing a little bit better, but you're not supposed to struggle against ULM. You know, sorry, ULM fans, but, you know, you're a Group 5 team that's got significantly less talent than Florida State. It shouldn't have been the way it was, but they put up a good fight, so I'll give them kudos for what they did. I'm going to pick Virginia to win this game because I just don't believe Florida State has what it takes right now.
And finally, Alabama versus South Carolina.
Well, the game that I'll be tuned into are the first CBS game of the season. That means we're going to have 10 commercials every 30 seconds. Alabama is going to be playing a much tougher opponent than they have these previous 2 weeks. I think Duke's a better team defensively than what South Carolina is. The big difference between Duke and South Carolina is that South Carolina's got a really good quarterback. Helinski is a better quarterback than anything Alabama's faced this season thus far, which is only all of two games. But he's very talented, and to be honest with you, in my eyes, I feel like he's better than Bentley, who he took over for due to injury. He had a game against Charleston Southern, was 24-30 for 282 yards, two TDs and a touchdown. He looked very good, but as Charleston Southern, but just looking at the intangibles, he looked really good. And I think that he's going to keep South Carolina in this game, you know, early. It's going to be a good road test for Alabama, especially when they're trying to figure some things out. But that being said, though, I don't think, based on what we talked about earlier, South Carolina is going to fare too well in the second half, mainly because of that secondary and that defense. I just don't think, with the problems they have, that they're going to be able to stop these receivers. And the thing about Alabama's receiving core is it's not just one receiver, it's not just two receivers, it's four receivers. So I think that's going to pose a problem, and I don't think there's a way for them to slow it down. Close in the first half, but Alabama will pull away in the second half to win 35-17.
And Thursday night football tonight, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Carolina Panthers.
Two teams I really don't care for. man, it's really a toss-up. I'm going to pull the way of Carolina. I think Cam Newton is definitely a lot better than Jameis Winston, and I think that Carolina has more talent. Christian McCaffrey, I feel like, will go off. And my boy Christian Miller from the University of Alabama, rookie, playing on that defense, will have a good game. So I'm going with the Carolina Panthers.
And random question, which NFL rookie player impressed you week one?
Week one. Yeah, there was a lot of good stuff going on in week one. Gardner Minshew. That came out of nowhere, right?
Very.
Nick Foles had to come out, man, injury. But, Gardner Minshew from Washington State came in relief and played incredible. Just really surprised, man, for a rookie. Had played with tremendous poise, and he completed a lot of passes. The passes that he missed, one was bad at the line, and others, you know, were catchable by the receivers. They just dropped them. But he was on target. He was throwing with authority. Looked really good to me, so I'm going to go with Gardner Minshew.
Josh Jacobs also had a good weekend.
Very good weekend. I think he's the first running back or a rookie. I forgot what it was, what stat was. Since 2001, LaDainian Tomlinson having 100 yards from scrimmage in first game of his career.
Something to look.
Jacobs was incredible. Jacobs looked great. Ran the ball for 85 yards, had two touchdowns, and caught a pass for 23 yards. And he was mowing people over, making people look silly. And he was making some really good decisions for a rookie. So he looked like a veteran to me. So I mean, he's going to have a really, really good year.
Definitely a good
pick.
He did
it against a good defense.
Definitely, yeah, and for sure a good pick for the fantasy people out there. And I thought Kyler Murray, you know, at first you thought, oh, no, he might be a bust that first game, and then he just came back. So there might be some promising future for him.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say he's a bust after one, you know, even if he didn't pan out in that first game. But there is definitely a lot of, scrutiny on him right now with his size, his height, and just being able to make that adjustment to the NFL. He didn't have a very good first half. But in that second half, yeah, he was tremendous. He played great. He brought Arizona back and tied the game. So, you know, that says a lot about him. So, you know, it's got a good sign for the young rookie.
And you think Antonio Brown will be playing this weekend?
I honestly think he will, and, you know, before anybody starts criticizing me or anything like that or saying how can you be on his side, blah, blah, it's not about sides. I'm just going to look at the black and white of it. Right now, and I think this is what New England is thinking, you know, until they can fully investigate this matter, until they can and talk to the young woman that is making these accusations and come up with a definite answer to this situation and find guilt, I think they're going to let him play until that determination is made. I'm not taking sides. I'm not defending anybody. I'm just looking at the black and white of it. I think he plays based on that. They're going to let him play until they're able to fully investigate this whole matter and come up with a conclusive decision.
We'll see what happens if they'll put him in the NFL commissioner exempt list, but until proven guilty, he'll be playing. And I think Belichick is hinting he will be playing. Justin, where is the best place people can reach you to talk to you about the Gamecocks?
Well, as I've mentioned in previous casts, I am one of the main people who help run the Sportscast Twitter account. At the Sportscast One, you can reach me on there. My personal handle is at 121 Training. That's number 12, one spelled out, training. I also help run the Instagram account for the Sportscast. So again, at the Sportscast One. So you can find me at either of those places to talk about Alabama, the Gamecocks, and anything else that you care to talk about.
Exactly. Of course, follow us on thesportscast.net with all the latest news and podcasts. And, of course, on Twitter at thesportscast1. We've been live tweeting certain college games. We live tweeted the NFL week one on Sunday with Kailu. So it's been really exciting on the Twitter, and of course some controversial, you know, debates we go on through in the sports world. You know, who has an easy schedule, who doesn't. Alabama has a great schedule, I believe. But we'll see what happens. You know, this weekend, Alabama, South Carolina at 3:30 p.m. Their debut on CBS, and we'll see what happens. A few good games this weekend, and of course tonight, Thursday night football. So it should be a pretty exciting game. Monday night football, Cleveland versus the Jets. I'm really looking towards that one. And of course, New Orleans at the LA Rams. Anyways, that's it for the sportscast. Justin Riley, I appreciate you coming on.
Man, glad to be here again. Roll Tide.